This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The scramble is on to get the city of Flint reconnected to Detroit's water system and turn off the water from the Flint River. That acidic river water has proven to leach lead from old pipes unless corrosion control steps are taken. Detroit treats its water with phosphates that serve to coat those pipes, sealing in the lead and cutting back the amount of lead in water to acceptable levels. That sort of corrosion control program did not happen when the city switched from Detroit's water to Flint River water in April 2014. Dan Wyant is the director of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. Thank you for being with us today.
Cynthia, good to be with you.
Can we actually start our conversation with that central question, but work in a little bit of time context? So we know that the city of Flint opted to join the new Carignan-De Water Authority, and that was April 16th, 2013. And just one day later, the city of Detroit terminated its water contract with Flint and gave Flint a year to find a new water source. So on April 24th, 2014, Flint switched to the water from the Flint River. So there was this year, and I'm wondering, during that year, was there no testing or no talk of putting in a corrosion control program in place?
Yeah, the department does test the water, both raw water coming out of the Flint River, and did do operational testing of the plant. That plant was a backup plant, a redundancy system, and so it had to, on an ongoing basis, both test their raw water and also have operation testing done on a quarterly basis, and it ran for a week at a time. And then for that system to actually come online, that plant had to demonstrate its ability to generate water that would meet Safe Drinking Water Act standards, and so that had to happen. So all that, yes, was done.
There seems to be some confusion because we've heard from experts, for example, Dr. Edwards from Virginia Tech, who points to federal statutes that say you've got to have corrosion control in place. And in fact, we know that on February 26th, an EPA official wrote to MDEQ and asked, hey, is Flint feeding phosphates? Flint must have optimal corrosion control treatment. Is it phosphates? And then the answer came back February 27th from Stephen Bush of your department, and I'm quoting from his email, the city of Flint has an optimized corrosion control program. But then in April, the EPA pressed again about which corrosion control program Flint used and then finally got the answer, there was no program. Was that a lie? How do you explain that?
No, not a lie. I mean, what is at issue is the experience and what corrosion controls are in place. So clearly, that's the case. And so some experts have said any competent person would have seen this water would eat up pipes. Other experts have said that this testing has nuances. It's part art, part science.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, here's the issue. We followed the lead copper rule, and we do need to evaluate whether the lead copper rule is protective. But in sequential order, it's clear to point out that raw water is treated. Historically, we've drawn water from the Flint River, treated it to Safe Drinking Water standards. In this case, that was done. What had to be evaluated was the success of the corrosion controls. Again, Flint was treating a certain way. A lot of experts argue, and this is a fair argument, those corrosion controls, the treatments that they were using just were not going to be effective. And so why didn't you know this?
Right.
Why didn't the state understand it on the front end and require it? And so, again, it was a lead-copper rule that requires us because there is no test for corrosion. There is not a test for corrosion. What you have to do is evaluate the water and the characteristics of water. And the way we do that is we test it per a protocol at the tap. And then you get two consecutive six-month tests. You have to then put additional corrosion controls in place. And so that protocol was followed. In fairness, what is at issue is whether those protocols are appropriate and whether or not we need to reevaluate whether, again, there's better science, better technical assistance that can be brought to the issue.
Well, it certainly shouldn't have come as a surprise that lead is in that pipes, and we know that the water from Detroit was treated with those phosphates for corrosion control. And am I correct that basically lime was added to Flint's water?
Lime was added to control pH, and pH is a factor that affects corrosion. Mm-hmm. And so that is indeed true. But the protocol that was followed, and it's a fair question, and I'm agreeing with you,
yeah.
We do have to go back and look at, through this action review, is there better technical assistance or science that could be brought to this situation? Because going forward, we have to deal with this issue. It's a real issue. The data and the tests that we have do demonstrate that there is a need for a short-term, intermediate, and long-term action. And so the water that came out of the system, tested quarterly, most recently August of 2015, tested non-detect for lead. And so misunderstanding about whether there's lead in the Flint River or lead coming out of the system. The issue going forward is as that water leaves the system, does it create corrosion? Does it create the opportunity? And there's no doubt about that. And so that's the real issue, and we've got to address that. And that's what we're all moving forward on and trying to ensure that we build back that confidence and we create a system that's safe.
You know, actually, one of our Michigan Radio listeners raised a question kind of touching on what you just touched on, Dan, and that is, what about this lead-contaminated water that is right now been going down sinks and toilets in Flint? Well, I mean, do we know what the effect on the ecosystem is to have this higher-than-acceptable level of lead flushed into the system?
We know that it's not a good thing, and so you know, we're going to have to evaluate that. And so when we put the 10-point plan together, part of what we have in place is a lot of ongoing testing. So we're moving into schools to evaluate schools first, and then we're testing anybody who wants their water tested because lead service lines is the issue, and that's been around in Flint for some time. And if we're going to correct this problem for the long term, addressing lead service lines is how we're going to address the issue.
I want to ask you, Dan, about a question that was raised when we had a conversation with Dr. Mark Edwards of Virginia Tech. And he talked with us about the federal required LCR sampling program for the first 6 months of this year. And maybe even it's just we're talking about the optics of this. But he has the original report that would have shown that Flint's water had exceeded the 15 parts per billion level. And that would have triggered the federal law that required that people be warned of high lead levels. And it would have also flagged the state's failure to have an effective corrosion control program in place. And then he has the revised report. The two highest lead results were invalidated, and then the required number of samples was knocked down from 100 to 60. And that report showed Flint water passing its lead testing with flying colors. Why was that report revised?
Yeah, a couple things in that question. I want to make sure we're real clear on this.
Sure.
One is there's no conspiracy or there's no effort. So when we test, know that any test result that's above an action level goes back to the resident. So we communicate that and did in this case. One, two, when we did our six-month testing protocol per the lead copper rule, we mm-hmm. did inform the city, and the city's informed on that. The second test, the same thing. When we did get two consecutive tests above 5 parts per billion, which is a requirement then that we do additional corrosion controls, we consulted with EPA, sat down on a conference call, and came to a conclusion that more should be done. And that letter went out August 17th, 2015. And so what you're suggesting is somehow that we dropped two tests purposely, and I can say we've gone back and looked at this, and so we've had somebody in our laboratory. When the test comes in that doesn't meet the protocol definition, they drop that test by definition alone. And so the reality is that's how that sample got dropped. And so, again, after looking back at it, those tests didn't meet the protocol that were established. So, again, there's no conspiracy to keep Flint into compliance. Again, we just follow the protocols that were in place.
Why were the number of samples accepted knocked from 100 to 60?
Those were the samples that were submitted by the city, and so that's what we were offered, and that's what we sampled.
I'm speaking with Dan Wyant. Dan is director of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality as we explore Flint's water situation. Through these months, we have seen Miguel Del Toro of the EPA, Dr. Edwards of Virginia Tech, Hurley pediatrician Dr. Mona Hanna-Attisha, all of them experts in their fields and all raising concerns about lead in the water, and then with Dr. Hanna-Attisha in the bodies of Flint's children. But it has seemed that the official stance from Lansing, and in particular people within your department, was basically to do everything possible to mute these people and their findings. We had DEQ spokesman Brad Werfel calling Dr. Hanna-Attisha irresponsible, although he says he has apologized. This summer, he spoke to Michigan radio reporter Lindsay Smith, and he said, let me start here. Anyone who has concerns about lead in the drinking water in Flint can relax. It would just seem to us that your team might welcome these reports and their efforts and these experts to protect the people of Flint.
I agree with that. And so I have to say a couple things on that. We have to recognize that Mr. Edwards and the others who have brought this issue need and deserve credit for bringing the attention to this issue. I mean, it's a real issue. And so if there was any disrespect or discredit for that, I have to apologize, and I have to take responsibility for that. And I am addressing it. So clearly, this is a real issue. Clearly, that the recent test data demonstrate that the actions we're taking are necessary. And know that the actions that we're taking deal with short-term, intermediate, and long-term addressing Flint's drinking water issue.
Do you, as you think about this, especially alone and just kind of going over everything that has played out, do you believe the DEQ failed the people of Flint?
I get asked on a regular basis, well, did we make a mistake? Was this a mistake? And so I do know this. I know that we have drawn water from the Flint River and treated it historically. I know that we draw water from other surface water sources and treat it to meet drinking water standards, and we did again in this case. I think what is at issue, and I think what is fair, is this understanding of corrosion control and what appropriate corrosion control was and who was in a position to best know. And so, again, I'll say it again. Some experts have said any competent person should have known. Other experts have said no. It's more complicated than that. Not every engineer could in our field know this up front. I simply know that the way we determine whether or not we're in compliance is actually test and then demonstrate that that test is out of compliance, and we did that in this case.
Have you thought at all of resigning, or do you think anyone at DEQ should lose their job over all of this?
No. I mean, if you can demonstrate wrongdoing, if you can demonstrate what is at issue is experience. Rather than wrongdoing. And so there's clearly, the governor said, looking back, things need to be learned from this, and we're committed to doing an after-action review of this issue making sure that we bring better technology to the table and that we learn from it and that we address the problem long-term. I'll say it this way. Flint deserves safe drinking water. They deserve an issue that they can ensure that they're going to have this corrected for the long term. And I feel confident that the action plan the governor puts together with the resources that we're asking for not only deals with the short term, but addresses this issue long term.
How do you think people will have faith in their state government after watching all of this and hearing this, after this consistent insistence that the water was all right? People have been drinking that water now for well over a year. Do you worry about people losing trust in you?
Yeah, I do, and I think trust is going to be a significant issue for us. And trust will only be brought back by actions that demonstrate trust. And so the only way that we build back trust is demonstrating that the water's safe.
Let's look ahead, because you've touched on this, the fresh awareness of the problem that, we have an aging water infrastructure. Does the state even know exactly where Flint's lead pipes are?
The state does not know exactly where the lead pipes are. Flint does, and it would be important for Flint to, again, make sure that they make that identification public so that we can collectively with our federal partners solve this problem long term.
Is that happening?
It is.
What kinds of discussions are happening about how to upgrade and replace these old lead pipes, really not just in Flint? Because I'm sure it's become very clear this is an issue that the entire state faces.
Infrastructure is an issue for the entire state and has been. And so whether it's wastewater or whether it's drinking water, know that local infrastructure needs is something that's really important, something the governor has asked for and some resources he's put towards this with respect to asset management. And so the governor has recognized this and has actually dealt with this. So the issue going forward long term is mapping where corrosion, where lead service lines are, putting together with the help of the federal government ongoing programs that put drinking water revolving loan programs in place, low interest, low long-term programs that are as a resource for not only the community of Flint, but private individuals to utilize the resource in order to replace lead service lines. Let's recognize this. Anybody who has a lead service line should be concerned at any point in time with lead exposure, with or without corrosion controls. Mm-hmm. And so know that long-term, simply putting corrosion controls on doesn't necessarily solve this for the city of Flint. The only way to truly solve this was get rid of lead fixtures, get rid of lead service lines. And we really have to focus on that. And we really do need to look at where those are and long-term eliminate them.
As we kind of think about things that we've talked about, and you definitely said there were missteps and there were things that should have been done differently. The governor has said that. What do you, Dan, want to say to the people in Flint who have had to listen to months of being told everything's okay, relax? What do you want to say to them now?
I want to say that the action steps that the governor introduced address the short-term, intermediate, long-term issue of water quality. I want to say to them that this issue is real, and I want to say to them that the only way that we can build confidence back in the system is demonstrate through testing, turning the system back on to Detroit, getting the technical assistance to ensure the corrosion control is appropriate, and ultimately when we switch over to the Karagandhi system, continuing that same effort to demonstrate ultimately that they do not have a lead exposure issue in Flint.
And I want to just kind of have you drill down on that finally. What can you guarantee people in Flint about their water a year from now?
Well, we can guarantee this, that the 10-point plan will be implemented that allows us to continue to elevate our testing and to evaluate schools and see where we have issues, that we're committed to working with the city of Flint to identify where lead service lines are and then put together a long-term plan to eliminate them.
Dan Wyant, Director of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. Dan, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you. Good to be with you.